I sat by my Savior and looked on his face, was full of his glory and shining with grace. His smile was endearing, his touch so divine.
Opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church once again, and we appreciate each one of you for your efforts to be here to worship the Lord together. Turn to a portion of scripture found in the book of Ephesians, where I want to take my text and center my thoughts on one particular thought in these scriptures. This is wonderful, wonderful three scriptures. It's found in the Apostle Paul's final writings to the church at Ephesus. It's in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let me just read my text. And the scriptures I want to read is 18, 19, and 20. And it says this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now that's my text. There's several things I want to mention here in this scripture. And first of all, that Paul is praying here, and in his prayer he asked the Lord for utterance to be given to him. Now when I stand before you, or when Will Martin stands before you, we must receive the ability or the Spirit of God to have utterance to declare the gospel or the message that we stand before you to proclaim. It comes from God. And we must depend upon Him. I'll admit we have to prepare and study what we want to bring. Without that utterance that comes from the Spirit of God, without that Spirit coming down and allowing you to speak in boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not the same. That's what preaching is. It's the utterance given that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Now this morning, what I want to center my thoughts on is that phrase, the mystery of the gospel. You know, different preachers may have different ideas or different thoughts on what that mystery of the gospel is. The mystery of the gospel, or the mystery of Christ. Now, to me, this is the mystery of the gospel. How could a just and holy and righteous, eternal, heavenly Father, who has no communion whatsoever with sin, how could a God with those attributes, how could he love a multitude, an innumerable host of sinners, every last one of them are sinners by nature? How could a just and holy and righteous God love sinners before the foundation of the world? Now, to me, that's the mystery of the gospel, because I don't understand it even today. I believe it, and I accept it, and I know it's true because God's Word tells me it is. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. And I like those two words. I'm glad God is a God of grace. I'm glad He's a God of mercy. Daniel Bryant, who was over at Faith Church, that gave this two definitions of those two words, and I love it and I use it. Grace is that God grants to us that we do not deserve. That's grace. Now, mercy is that God withholds from us that we do deserve. That's mercy. I'm glad we have a God of grace. I'm glad we have a God of mercy. But the mystery of the gospel is, how could God, who is holy, righteous, and altogether perfect, love sinners before the foundation of the world? That's the mystery of the gospel. Now, the mystery of the gospel, that in itself is, and God worked out a plan. He didn't wait for me and you to work out a plan and satisfy Him with it. No, He worked out a plan to save a multitude of people. A people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe of people upon the earth. And it's not based on anything that they do. It's based upon God electing them, and God choosing them, and God sending His only begotten Son. Think about it. Christ came to this earth, one man, kept the law of God to a jot and to a tittle, and satisfied the justice of God, went to the cross and took upon Himself the sins of every last one of those that God the Father chose and elected and gave to Him in a covenant of grace before the world was. And because of His sacrifice on the cross, He finished the work of redemption for every last one of them. One man kept the law perfectly and was perfectly righteous in everything he did. And God sent him here to go to the cross and redeem and finish the work of redemption for all of God's children. What a great mystery that is, that God would allow one man to substitute his death for a multitude of people that God the Father loved and chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world was. And every last one of them that he saved us sinners. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners by nature. But God remedied the situation for you and me. How? When he quickens us and gives us eternal life, he imputes within us Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And he imputes within each one of us the righteousness of Christ that he kept to a jot and to a tittle while he lived here upon this earth. We have the righteousness of Christ within us that God has imputed within every single born again child of God that came to you, not because of anything you've done, but by his grace he gave you that you do not deserve. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You got it by God's grace and God's grace alone. Let's talk a little bit about that mystery of the gospel. Several things we want to look at here this morning concerning that mystery. First of all, that mystery is revealed unto God's children by God's revelation. You don't show up in the Holiday Inn as an alien sinner with a night plan of sin and no idea and no thoughts of God in the world and pick up a Bible and read about it and learn about it that way. God must first of all give you life. And you must have life for God to reveal unto you the mystery of the gospel. How that God, who is all righteous and all everything righteous as far as his doings and redeem a multitude of people with the sacrifice of one man, his son, Jesus Christ. That message is revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ by God himself revealed unto us. We'll read about that here in the book of Romans. The closing chapter here, the book of Romans, he says, beginning at verse 24, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And you know, I like that scripture right there. That says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." What is grace? Grace is that God gives to you that you do not deserve. Grace is also defined this way. Grace is unmerited favor that's bestowed upon an undeserving individual. And he starts this scripture with, "Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery mystery. There it is, the revelation of the mystery through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God reveals to his children, not only through that, but through his written word that he's recorded here for us to read and follow and understand. He's revealed unto us the mystery of the gospel of how a just and holy God could save a sinner such as you and I. It's revealed to us from God according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This mystery of the gospel, how that God, who is holy and righteous, could save sinners, is revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached. This mystery of the gospel is the wisdom of God. God who is all wise. God who knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. That great God with all that wisdom, the revelation of the mystery of the gospel, the revelation of the mystery of Christ is the wisdom of God. We'll find it described that way here in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin there at verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should stand in the not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us again. Now there's that revelation again. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, by the Spirit of God that's taken up its abode in your heart. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. This mystery of the gospel of how God, who is all righteous, could save sinners is indeed the wisdom of God. And it took God to have the wisdom as to how to save sinners by just and holy and righteous God, and love them in spite of their sin, cleanse their sin and remember their sin no more against them. Have their sins removed as far away as the east is from the west. Yes, that's the wisdom of God. Yes, indeed, it is the wisdom of God Himself. We'll see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Some call this the First National Bank of the Primitive Baptists. Why? Because it teaches us election. But it's not the First National Bank. There's too many other places in the Scripture that teach election besides this. Some people take a pair of scissors and they cut this first chapter out because they don't believe in election. But I'm going to keep it in there because it just harmonizes with all the other Scriptures that teach election. And it wouldn't be complete without it. And God knew what He's doing when He inspired the writers to pen it. Says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin there at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, when before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now there is a part. God chose us. God elected us. It was all before the foundation of the world. There was a just and holy and righteous God choosing a sinful people out of Adam's race, sinners by nature, and He chose them and elected them in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now there's that mystery again, the mystery of how God could choose, elect a sinful people, Him being all righteous. It's through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He was able to do it. Having made known unto us the mystery of the will of God, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, how that Christ could substitute on the cross one man for a multitude of people that God the Father had given to Him in a covenant of grace before the world was, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now one thing we'll notice there in that ninth verse, I want us to look at that again, is that this mystery of the gospel, this mystery of Christ, this mystery of how God could save a multitude of sinful people, Him being righteous, is the will of God. It's the will of God Himself that a multitude of people would be saved by the substitute of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So this mystery that I'm speaking to you about is the will of God as declared here in the book of Ephesians. Couple of other things we'll see here in the book of Ephesians, and we'll move aside and let Brother Will preach to us. It says here in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, it speaks of the knowledge that we have of this mystery. the knowledge that we gain through the preaching of the gospel, through reading it in God's Word, through the revelation by the Spirit of God that's within us. We saw how it is the wisdom of God, it's the will of God. But we gain knowledge of it through the preaching of the gospel. Chapter 3 says, "For this cause I, Paul," that's chapter 3, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word, how that by revelation," now there's that word revelation again, "it's revealed unto us," how? "By the Spirit of God that's within every single born child of God. By the revelation, he made known unto me the mystery," "as I wrote afore in few words," in other words, by the revelation of the Spirit of God, God has made known unto me this mystery. He's given me this knowledge, and I wrote about it as God inspired me, and I penned about it, and you have read about it. I wrote afore in a few words, "whereunto when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, and the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise of Christ by the gospel." In other words, what he's saying here is Israel was God's chosen nation, the Jews. But now it's been revealed that it's not only for the Jews, but it's also for the Gentiles. Yeah. It's for people out of every kindred, out of every nation, out of every tongue. You see, it was hid completely by those. I'm sure God in his own way revealed to them what the plan was to come about in the knowledge of this mystery of God to save a multitude of people. This knowledge comes to us by the preaching of the gospel and the word of God itself. Now with this knowledge, the Jew and the Gentile had fellowship in the gospel. You and I, as believers in Christ and as members of the visible church of Jesus Christ, have fellowship one with the other in the mystery of the gospel, in the mystery of Christ. How that a just and holy God could redeem and save a sinful people. We have fellowship in that mystery. We have fellowship in it. And it says down in beginning at verse 8, "Unto me," Paul says, "unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship we have in the mystery of this gospel, the mystery of Christ, that all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I said that was going to be the last scripture, but I want to get one other one that is declared here concerning this mystery. It's found over in the book of 1 Timothy. Paul writing to this young preacher Timothy, and he says this about this mystery of the gospel, this mystery of Christ. He says, without controversy, there is no controversy about it. There's no argument about it. There's no debating about it. There's no controversy in it. This message is from God. God is sovereign. God is in heaven. Jesus Christ is at His right hand. God inspired the men to pen the words, and we have it right here in front of us. This 1611 version of the King James Bible. It's God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. What a plan. What a God. God sent His only begotten Son to this earth. And He came at the command of God the Father and went directly with His face set to Jerusalem to finish the work of redemption for all that God the Father gave to Him. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached even unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Yes, Jesus Christ came here, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was taken down from the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea, according to the Scriptures, on the third and appointed day, rose again from that grave, according to the Scriptures, and after He arose again, ascended up into a cloud and went up to heaven, took His seat at the right hand of the throne of God, where He will ever rule and reign over His triumphant kingdom until the day He leaves that throne, comes back, and a marriage ceremony will occur between Him and His bride, all that God the Father gave to Him to go to heaven and be with Him in heaven, eternally speaking. I thank you for your attention. Please pray for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to you.
I swear to God,
not made with hands.
I have another baby.